We'll start with a little review. Yesterday evening we discussed verses 3 and 4, where 2 was identifying the subject matter as the abode of Krishna. The introduction is Krishna, then the abode of Krishna. And as you see in the image on the screen here, that central whorl, the yellow portion in the middle of the lotus flower, is the abode of Krishna. And when we say Krishna, we mean Radha Krishna, the abode of Radha Krishna. Then the concept of a yantra was introduced. Yantra, meaning a machine, yantra rudhani mayaya. So in this case, this yantra is a depiction. Tamal Krishnamurti would call it a mystic diagram. The abode of Krishna, depicted in a two-dimensional presentation. And we are to understand, this is review, but that yantra is like a deity, or as we see the deity as none different than Krishna, as the name of Krishna is none different than Krishna, the yantra is none different than Krishna. It's a diagram, but it's none different than Krishna. Worshipable. Worshipable specifically because the mantra is inscribed therein. And the mantra we heard yesterday is none different than Krishna. Just as the name of Krishna is none different than Krishna. So the mantra makes the yantra worshipable. The abode of Krishna is as worshipable as is Krishna worshipable. We heard yesterday, in the center, you see Radha Krishna in the center, and Krishna was likened to a diamond. And we've heard that the form of Krishna is eternal. The form of Krishna is Satchit Ananda, full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. No touch of any material contamination. Vishuddha Sattva, absolutely, completely pure. Bhaktisiddhanta's language described Krishna as acme of entity, the topmost. We also heard topmost form. There is no form superior to Krishna. He is the superlatively perfect form of the Supreme Lord. And it also specifically stated that He is the repose or the shelter or the basis and support of all potencies. There's so many potencies. Krishna is the basis of them. Krishna is inseparable from His potencies as sunshine is inseparable from sun. So this fits into the theme. I'm going to say it a few times in the course of today's discussion. It's going back to the first verse, the governing Paribhasha Sutra of the whole book. But we're hearing now the description of the world, or the topmost abode, Krishna Loka. And Krishna is the diamond at the center, who is the shelter and the source of emanation of all potencies. And all other subject matters are going to be either expansions of Krishna or expansions of Krishna's potencies in different realms. He's the cause of all causes. We'll hear of causes and effects, but Krishna is the cause of all causes. He's the cause of those causes that cause other effects that become causes that cause other effects, and so forth. He's at the center of everything. He is the absolute truth. In medium size. Approachable for our service. I wanted to say something further in response to Nanda Sutta's question about that blue portion that in between each of the petals of the abodes of the gopis there was cleam and cleam and cleam. Because Jiva Goswami spends a large amount of his commentary on verse 4 about the meaning of clean. It's Radha Krishna. In seed form, Radha Krishna. And clean in the mantra, in this hexagonal mantra, is at the center because Radha and Krishna are at the center. Clean also appears in a number of other places in that yantra that we viewed yesterday. And my reply yesterday was, why not? But now, even more specifically, here's why. Because this depiction of the world and the petals, it's the abode of Krishna and the abode of Krishna's associates. And Krishna's pastimes take place in those areas. So I was thinking about this, when we went to Vrindavan, and some of you may have been to Unchagam. It's one of my favorite places in Vrindavan for a variety of reasons. But that's one of the abodes of the gopis, specifically Lalita Devi's abode. And that's one of the petals. And from the rooftop of Unchagam, you can see 3 miles that way is another one of the petals, the abode of Sudevi. And then you can see Varsana in the distance, and on the other side of that Jaipur temple, Varsana, is Chikshali, another one of Chitra Devi's residences, and Tunga Devi, and Tungavidya, and Vishaka. And so from that rooftop, one can see these petals, these the abodes of the gopis, these principal gopis. And then in the vicinity are their Manjari assistants, their abodes. So this is what's depicted in the pinkish or reddish-pinkish flower. And in between, there's Radha and Krishna, Radha and Krishna, because the pastimes of Radha and Krishna take place in all those places. The abode of Radha and Krishna is at the center, but the place of their pastimes are all over. All over in Raja. Just like from the rooftop of Unchagam, the abode of Lalita Devi, there's a hill called Sakhi Giri Parvat, where Radha and Krishna would regularly perform pastimes. So there's one of the cleans. And it's even specifically Krishna, there's depressions in the hilltop, shaped like bowls, in directly in rows, that is described where the cowherd boys would have their lunch, eating out of those bowls. That's a depression in the giri or the hill at Sakhi Giri Parvat. Etc., etc., etc. The pastimes of Radha and Krishna take place all over. And that's what's being described in these verses, is the place of Krishna's residence, the place of the residence of the associates of Krishna, and the places of Radha and Krishna's intimate pastimes in Braja. So, Radha Krishna, they're everywhere. And one other reference, I read it yesterday, so I'm not going to read it again today, but in Adi Lila, chapter 5, actually I will read it again, it's very nice. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, in verses 17 and 18 of Adi 5, Sri Gokula, the highest of all, is also called Vraja, Goloka, Sweta Dweep, and Vrindavan. Like the transcendental body of Lord Krishna, Gokula is all-pervading, infinite, and supreme. It expands both above and below without any restriction. So there's the why not answer, without any restriction. Radha and Krishna are throughout the whole of Vraja, although their principal place of residence may be, as indicated, at the center of the Corolla. There, the love of Radha and Krishna pervades all of, and their pastimes pervade all of Vraja. And so, now, let's review. We're ready for the next verse. So we can chant this next verse together. This is a long one. We can chant together. Chatur ashram tad parita sweta dvi apyam adbhutam chatur ashram chatur murtesh chatur dhamma chatushkritam chatur bhi purusharthais cha chatur bhir hetu bhir ritam Shulayar Dashavir Anandham Urdhavo Dig Vivikshmi Api Ashtavir Niravir Jushtam Ashtimi Siddhi Vistata Manu Rupaisha Darsha Bhir Dikpalai Paritavritam Shamayar Boraisha Raptaisha Shuklaisha Paridharsha Bhai Shobitam Shakti Vista Bhir Adhutabhi samantata. So it's a long verse. This can be a long description of a long verse. Here's the translation. I'll read. The surrounding external plane of Gokula is described in this verse. This is that white area surrounding the lotus that is part of Gokula or Goloka. There is a mysterious quadrangular place named Shweta Dweep surrounding the outskirts of Gokula. Shweta Dweep is divided into four parts on all sides, as you see in the diagram, upper, lower, left, and right, those four areas, the abodes of the Chaturvyuha, are depicted. The abode of Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha are separately located in each of these four parts. These four divided abodes are enveloped by the fourfold human requirements, such as piety, wealth, passion, and liberation, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And also by the four Vedas, namely Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva, which deal with the mantra, and which are the basis of achievements of the fourfold mundane requirements. I thought it was Vishuddha Sattva. What are the fourfold human requirements doing there? Let's carry on. 10 tridents are fixed in the 10 directions, including the zenith and nadir, that's up and down. The 8 directions are decorated with the 8 jewels of Maha, Padma, Padma, Shankha, Makra, Kachapa, Mukunda, Kunda, and Nila. There are 10 protectors, or dikpals, of the 10 directions in the form of mantra. The associates of the hues of blue, yellow, red, and white, and the extraordinary potencies bearing the names Vimala, etc., shine on all sides. So, as stated, it's mysterious. And we'll see if we can unpack the mystery a little bit. There's the translation. So we'll go through these one by one. And it will start with the abodes of the Chaturvyuha. So please bear in mind we're speaking of the outer region. Basically this means Mathura and Dwarka. As you see in that up on the screen up here, those colored portions, at least the way the artist depicted it, Mathura and Dwarka are in that perimeter region. In between is also Jagannath Puri. Yeah. So that's just the artist's rendering. We don't need to visualize or conceptualize. The yantra that I've shown you doesn't say like that. So it's just in that region outside. That's what's important. In his Krishna Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami discusses exactly this. After describing the places where the Lord enacts his transcendental Vrajalila, he writes, "There are many places on this earth planet where the Supreme Lord enjoyed various pastimes. These places are actually situated in the Vaikuntha world." Now, if we look at our chart on the left, the Vaikuntha world is right in the middle, Haridam, and above that is Ayodhya, in that kind of little yellow area. And then above that is Golokadham, and Svetadvipa is part of the Golokadham position. So here, at least in Krishna Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami, consistent with Sanatana Goswami, is indicating Mathura and Dwarka, which are within Goloka, have some, in fact, strong aspects of the mood of Vaikuntha, the mood of opulence, particularly Dwarka, but to some extent also Mathura. So Jiva Goswami is saying these places, these abodes, are like Vaikuntha, or like exhibiting majesty and opulence, where that, and that's the mood of the devotees there. He goes on. These places are actually situated in the Vaikuntha world. They are, one, beyond the touch of the material energy, all of them, because the material energy is down below. Down below is the river Viraja, and on the other side of the river Viraja is the material energy, and on this side of the river Viraja is the spiritual energy, the spiritual position, the abode of the Supreme Lord. So each of these places, they're beyond the touch of the material energy. And they're also eternal. That is to say, when that area down below is destroyed, they're not destroyed. There may be pastime places of the Lord within that field of the material energy. That's also not destroyed. They're eternal. As the on the other side of the river Viraja, they're not destroyed. They're eternal. The third, he says, is they're uncommon, which is like what we were describing. We shouldn't make the mistake of imposing material conceptions on that which is not material. We shouldn't think of Krishna's place of pastimes as material, as we might think of something that's common and of this world. Although it may be in this world, they're not of this world, they're uncommon. And four, they are the eternal abodes of the personality of Godhead. The description of these holy tirthas is found in various Vedic literatures. So tirthas, meaning a place of pilgrimage, a place where Krishna performs his pastimes and one may go there for purification because it's transcendental. It's non-different than the upper region from which those places make their, the Lord makes his appearance and manifests. His transcendental abode is eternally present here in this realm also, like an embassy. And then he concludes, the Lord's many favorite cities that rest on the earth also exist in Vaikuntha, so that the Lord may enjoy different pastimes in them. So he likes yada yada hi dharma shaglanya bhavati. From time to time he descends srijam yaham, and he descends in those abodes. Sometimes people ask this question, especially I get asked it a lot in China. How come all these places of Krishna's appearances take place in India? Why not, you know, at least one or two in China, or forget Japan, but, you know, China, or maybe some other places? And one answer that Prabhupada has given is that Krishna is not attracted to appear where people are so grossly impious. He's attracted to appear where his devotees are. And those places where his devotees are largely in India, and largely in India because the places for their purification are in India. So it's just the Lord's arrangement. Punya Bhumi, land of India, is very special because of the Lord's places of pastimes. And the tendency, although Kali Yuga is rapidly modifying all of that, the tendency for pious activity, the tendency for devotion to Krishna, the tendency like that is very natural. Of course, there's other parts of the world where attraction for Krishna is very natural and very easy. Without descriptions from the course of my travel, I've seen it. It's just magical. They're very, very easily, readily attracted to Krishna. That makes a place of Krishna's pastime, because of that attraction for Krishna. There's kirtan and there's devotional service, and Krishna is attracted and Krishna comes. It's like, this is one of the seven stated purposes of ISKCON, is penned by Srila Prabhupada, to establish places of pastimes of Krishna. Well, Krishna can do that, he can appear. But if the devotees engage in devotional service and chant his holy name and establish temples like this, where regularly Krishna is worshipped and dressed and decorated and fed and chanted and glorified and so forth, makes this a place of Krishna's pastimes. Same thing as what goes on in the spiritual world. Establishing temples. But Prabhupada wrote, places of pastimes of Krishna. And you don't have to have a temple. You can just have wonderful kirtan. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's method. So you're still on this, what's shown on the screen here, the abodes of the four Chaturvyuha personalities. These personalities are expansions of Krishna, who is at the center. So Krishna expands as Vasudev, and then the other Chaturvyuha members similarly expand. Balaram expands as Sankarshan, and Pradyumna and Aniruddha are also manifest. If we have time at the end, I'll read from Varaha Purana a description of the abodes, you know, the trees and the palaces and the places and the avenues and the parks and the abodes of the Chaturvyuha. Just as we're given lots of nice description about Krishna's Vrindavan, there's the abodes of these four Chaturvyuhas described in Varaha Purana. In Rupa Goswami's Lagu Bhagavatamrita, Lagu Bhagavatamrita is, it's a description of the forms of the Lord as they appear in this world. It's like a commentary on Canto 1, Chapter 3. Canto 1, Chapter 3, especially the bulk of it, the beginning part through most of it, is a response. It's Sutta Goswami's response to the sage's question, please describe those forms of the Lord as they appear in this world. Lagu Bhagavatamrita is a commentary on that. It's just a description of the forms of the Lord as they appear in this world, and he goes through it four times over. Verse by verse, he comments on chapter 3, and then he goes back, and then he divides the categories, and he discusses them once again, and he does it again, and he does it again. It's exhaustive. It's very beautiful and eloquent and fascinating and charming, and some of these charts, especially the one on the left, draws from Lagu Bhagavatamrita. So here's Rupa Goswami's description of Vasudev of the Swetadweep area. Here's what he writes. Lagu Bhagavatamrita. The Krishna known as Yadu Kumar, Yadu dynasty resides where? Dwaraka. So Krishna in Dwaraka is Yadu Kumar. Is Vasudev Krishna in the outer region, the Swetadweep region. He is different from the Krishna who is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Non-different and different. Here's the difference. Yadu Kumar Krishna manifests his pastimes in the cities of Mathura and Dwaraka, but Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, never at any time leaves Vrindavan. That's Govinda, if you remember from the first day. They're the same, but Govinda specifically is with his flute, and Krishna doesn't carry his flute when he goes to Mathura and Dwaraka. He has other paraphernalia. Vrindavan Krishna always has two arms. He never has four arms. He eternally enjoys pastimes with a certain gopi. That's a quote by Rupa Goswami from Yamala Tantra. Continuing, Lagu Bhagavatamrita. In his prakat form, remember that term, aprakat and prakat? In his prakat form, Lord Krishna goes to the Yadu's capital, Mathura. Concealing his real identity as the son of the Vrajas king, he shows himself as Lord Vasudev. Vasudev sometimes has two arms and sometimes four arms, and is dependent upon the love, or the mood of love, of those who he interacts with. Krishna discloses, he reciprocates with their love. He discloses a form suitable for their love. Continuing, this is still Lagu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami. Just as, this is important, listen carefully, just as Lord Vasudev is the expansion of Lord Krishna, his queens in Dwaraka are expansions of Krishna's gopis. This is an important part of Rupa Goswami's message. It's esoteric, but it's an important part of his message. This is explained by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is now no longer Rupa Goswami. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this in his commentary on Bhagavatam 10:59-43, wherein he quotes Kartik Mahatmya's section of the Padma Purana. He quotes the Sanskrit. Those who were, quote, those who were daughters of cowherds in their early youth became royal princesses in their maturity, unquote. They expanded. This detail is described. They expanded themselves because their expansions of Radha, and they expanded themselves to participate with Krishna in his pastimes in Dwaraka, because they're to assist Krishna in his pastimes. As Krishna expands himself as Vasudev, they expand themselves to be his wives. And in Braja, they're gopis. In Dwaraka, they're wives. You follow? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds, therefore, just as the Lord of Dwaraka, Vasudev Krishna, is a plenary expansion of the supremely complete Lord of Sri Vrindavan, so his principal queens are full expansions of his supremely complete pleasure potencies, the gopis. It's a deep mystery. And if you really want to scratch your head, read Rupa Goswami's two dramas, Vidanta Madhava and Lalita Madhava. But an essential thread that runs through that is what I just read. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur confirming. From Padma Purana, it's not he made it up, or that would be a cute way to explain things. It's scripturally based, but he just goes very, very deeply into the subject. I'll just share this detail with you. It's Rupa Goswami was composing a drama about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. Just as Jiva Goswami is giving his commentary on Krishna and the abode of Krishna, Rupa Goswami wanted to write a drama, not fiction drama, but a drama about Krishna's pastimes. And as he was composing that drama, in writing both as well in his mind, conceiving of the drama, as a literary person will do before they write, he then received some instruction from Satyabhama, confirmed by Lord Chaitanya, it should be two dramas. Krishna in Vrindavan and Krishna outside of Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya told him, don't take Krishna out of Vrindavan. He's always in Vrindavan. He didn't give a detail, he just make two dramas. He didn't say make two dramas, he just don't take Krishna out of Vrindavan. Govinda, Gopinath, they stay in Vrindavan. I hear you're composing a drama. Don't take Govinda out of Vrindavan. That's all he said. So Rupa Goswami then made two dramas. When we visited Rahul, which is the birthplace of Srimati Radharani and where she lived in the early part of her life, as Krishna lived in Gokul at the palace of Nanda and Jasoda in Gokul, not Nandagram, but on the eastern side of the river Jamuna. There's a parallel description found in Lalita Madhava of, Vidanta Madhava of a very amazing appearance of Radharani, different than the one that we hear at Rahul. Without all the detail, Radha and Chandravali, by the arrangement of the Yogamaya potency, were taken from the arms or the chest carrying the two children, the two daughters, Chandravali and Radharani. Putana came and kidnapped them. Before that, they were taken to become the daughters of the Vindhya Hills. That's correct. Then Putana came and kidnapped from the Vindhya Hills, and as Putana was carrying them away, flying through the air, as witches can do, on broomsticks. She was flying through the air. Vindhya engaged his brahmanas in creating a curse that would kill the kidnappers of her daughters, his daughters. Putana became very afraid, knowing that this curse was chasing after her. So one of the daughters, she dropped in a river in the kingdom of Bhishmaka. Who's that? Rukmini's father. That's Chandravali. The plot thickens, it just goes on and on. Radharani later was placed somewhere, and Purnamasi said, I came and then entrusted Radharani to Rishabhanu and said, here's your daughter back. Very, very mysterious. That's how Radharani, one of the presentations of how Radharani became the daughter of Rishabhanu. But then later, Purnamasi says, these gopis, and she describes other things with gopis, they expanded themselves to become queens of Krishna and Dwarka. Purnamasi is Yogamaya. And she's speaking to Gargi, who is the daughter of Sandipani Muni, and Gargi says, how did you learn all this? She said, I heard it from Narada Muni, my spiritual master. And on this basis, this is my devotion to Radha and Krishna. And Gargi says, my father cannot be wrong. He's said all these things also, but I can't understand it. So don't worry, we can't understand it. The daughter of Sandipani Muni can't understand it. She said, but one day maybe I will understand. So the gopis expanded themselves to become, you know, those 16,100 princesses? That's the gopis. They desire to have Krishna as their husband. So in one of the multiple leelas in which Krishna arranges to become their husband, they expand themselves and become Krishna's husband. That's Lalita Madhava. Excuse me, Vedanta Madhava. Lalita Madhava is Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka. Excuse me for this detour. I'm going away from Brahma Samhita, but it's nice. In Dwarka, Krishna has such love for Vrindavan. Uddhava, recognizing that love that Krishna has for Vrindavan, he has an idea. He decides to create a drama of Krishna's performing pastimes in Vrindavan with Krishna, Vasudeva Krishna, in the audience. So it's a drama within a drama within a drama. And as Krishna, Vasudeva Krishna, sees Krishna in Vrindavan on the stage, he becomes so attracted, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radha, so attracted, even Vasudeva Krishna becomes attracted to Brajendra Nandana Krishna. And he describes his attraction, and he starts running for the stage with his arms outstretched, and Uddhava holds him around the waist. No, no, it's just a drama. It's just a drama. And the final scene of Lalita Madhava, the final scene is in Dwarka. Krishna realizes that he's Krishna in Vrindavan. Satyabhama realizes that she's Radharani, and they get married in Dwarka. And Radharani asks, Krishna says, Radharani, please take some benediction from me. So she asks for two. One is something like, always Be compassionate upon your devotees and display your wonderful pastimes so that they can become satisfied and filled with their love and devotion for you. And the other is, please always keep the gopis, us gopis, in your intimate association. Krishna says, so be it. Then there's a question that's raised. I think it's Radharani that raised. Someone raises the question. Says, how is this possible? We're in Dwarka. And Radha and Krishna are in Dwarka. So, what's going on? Like, we might wonder, what's going on? And the Yogamaya potency in Dwarka, who is commonly called Subhadra, but in this case it's Ekanamsa, she comes rushing onto the stage and pulls back a curtain and shows it's actually Vrindavan. Figure that one out, huh? These expansions of Krishna are to satisfy the particular type of love. And the love of Vrindavan is very special. We're going to hear a little bit about that from Bhaktisiddhanta in his purport. Now we're hearing about the outer region, the Swetadweep region, where Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Adimuda reside. Back to Brahma Samhita, the important thing for us to understand out of all of this, besides, wow, that was interesting, is Krishna is at the center. He is the source of all potencies. He is the source of emanation of all potencies. And everything is an expansion of his potencies or himself. So as we're describing Swetadweep, it's Krishna's expanding himself and Krishna's various potencies. That's all. And it's to reciprocate with the love of the residents who have that particular disposition. And when this is all done, we're going to go in the next class after breakfast to down in that lower region where it's the causal ocean, Mahavishnu. It's another mood. And then Krishna is reciprocating with, or Mahavishnu is reciprocating with those personalities, the living entities who are within his transcendental body at the time of cosmic annihilation, and his desire for them to come once again to the upper region on the other side of the river Viraja. But all of that, just to repeat, it's just an expansion of Krishna, because that's what Mahavishnu is, or who Mahavishnu is, and Krishna's potencies that have their position in the spiritual world, and they expand themselves to accommodate the desires of the living entities who are, in this realm, rebellious. But it's his potencies, like Maya, Yakshena, Prakriti, Soyate, Sacharacharam from Bhagavad Gita. It's all under Krishna's adhyaksha. He's overseeing. He does so through his personal expansions because he's fully occupied with enjoying pastimes in Braja. But to accommodate, it's just a loving exchange between living entities and the Supreme Lord. That's the world where we are now. And it's the Vaikuntha realm, it's the Ayodhya realm, it's the Swetadweep realm, it's the Vraja realm. And we're being encouraged by Jiva Goswami and Lord Brahma and our acharyas to focus our attention on Krishna and Vrindavan. But all the other realms are also Krishna and Krishna's energy. Prabhupada said it this way. There's only two things. There's Krishna and there's Krishna's expansions, or Krishnas. There's Krishna and there's Krishnas, and there's not a third thing. And all of creation. There's no void in creation. Sometimes, out of frustration, there's a void philosophy that's generated. And there's no such thing. There's only Krishna and Krishnas, and not a third thing. Okay. Well, that's first on our list here of the things that are described in text number 5. Also mentioned in text number 5 are the 4 Vedas, Rig Sama, Yajur, and Atharva Veda. That may be surprising. Probably should be surprising, because these 4 Vedas, they're the basis of karmakanda. Rituals that person who wish for material elevation and fulfillment of material desires, they approach. They worship the worship of various devas through different procedures and rituals and mantras, so they can achieve fulfillment in this world and achieve a higher destination after. That's commonly what the 4 Vedas are down here in this realm. But in the Goloka realm, in Svetadvipa, they're only doing one thing. They're just glorifying Krishna. They're just glorifying Krishna, because that's the purpose of all the Vedas, isn't it? Vedaish desire vair aham eva vedyo. That's the purpose of the Vedas. So in Svetadvipa, that's all they're doing. Nothing else. Just glorifying Krishna in various wonderful ways. The penultimate, or the perfection of the Vedas, is found in Svetadvipa. And the fruits, piety, wealth, passion, and liberation, or dharma, artha, kama, moksha. One might wonder why. Why is that going on? But the examples are given by Jiva Goswami in the form of piety, you know, the performance of duties in their perfect form. Consider Nanda Maharaj. He's in the Vaishya community, and he's doing his duties of taking care of the cows. We can even say Krishna's cows. Perfectly. He's perfectly executing his dharma. And as far as artha, wealth, the treasury of Nanda Maharaj is fully utilized for one purpose only, the service of Krishna, the happiness of Krishna. Perfect stage of artha. And kama, we'll hear this a little bit later, but in this section, Jiva Goswami describes, on this realm, there's kama of the kind where one desires one's own sense gratification. In this case, it's intense desire for the satisfaction of the senses of Krishna. Perfectly, most perfectly exhibited by the gopis. Not a tinge or trace of anything selfish or independent enjoyment. It's entirely the satisfaction of Krishna's senses. And liberation is already included. Liberation is as standing at the doorway. But all the beings, the residents of Goloka, in both the Vraja and the Svetadvipa regions, they're already liberated in their perfect stage, as Prabhupada calls it in the Bhagavatam, ultimate liberation. Pure love of God. Not just Sayuja. Pure love of God. And the 10 tridents that are in the 10 directions. This is for keeping people unqualified out. The simile with the digpalas, they're mentioned also. But the 10 tridents, a trident is a spear with 3 prongs. And the indication of Jiva Goswami is these 3 prongs indicate the 3 modes of nature and the 3 phases of time. Yesterday there was some discussion about time. So those that are still affected by and interested in the modes of nature or the phases of time, the tridents keep them out. And the digpals with their protectors of the dham. specifically, well, here's Jiva Goswami's description from Krishna Sandarbha of this little section. A passage from Sri Harivamsa explains, beyond heaven lies the transcendental realm, which is inhabited by the personified great sages and the Lord's personal associates. There can be found the ultimate destination of Lord Shiva and self-realized souls who merge into the Lord's Brahmajyoti effulgence. Above it is the planet of the Surabhi cows, guarded by the Sadhya deities. The Sadhya deities, these Digpals. O Krishna, situated amid an infinite spiritual sky, that planet is supreme and all-expansive. So Jiva Goswami gives his explanation that these Sadhya demigods, Sadhya demigods indicates not like the demigods of this created realm where they oversee the affairs of the universe. These are prototype demigods, as Bhaktisiddhanta's description. So in Svetadvipa, there are Sadhya demigods or Digpals, and their service is to keep unqualified people out. They're guardians of the Dham. So those that are attracted by the modes of nature, those that are influenced by, to some slight remaining degree, by the phases of time, they're, Jiva Goswami writes, they're pierced asunder by the tridents placed in 10 directions and prohibited from entering by the Digpals. So if you want to go to Vrindavan, to enter into Krishna's abode in Vrindavan, you have to be qualified. And in the purport, I'm not going to go into it, but in detail, Bhaktisiddhanta starts at making lists of those that don't make it. The yogis, the gyanis, ashtangis, he says people who are less forward in their intelligence, who are attracted by various mantras, the gift-giving demigods, Bhaktisiddhanta calls. You want something, very well, here's the something you wish. So those that have that kind of interest or attraction, they it's good news. When we go to the spiritual, the Goloka realm, we're not going to have all this confusion. We're not going to have people that have like egos and that, you know, quarrel with each other. And you can't enter if you have that disposition. And so, but there are places of residence for each of those personalities. And I'm not going to read it. It's very nice. You can read it. In his purport, Bhaktisiddhanta's purport to this verse. But there are, so there are places of residences for those that are not so qualified as the residents of Vaikuntha are qualified. And then he makes reference, if you have your book, Sri Brahma Samhita, oh, there it is. His paragraphs, of course, are really long. It's at the towards the very end of the first paragraph. These page numbers, it's 14 and 15, the bottom of page 14. He's making reference to chapters that are found in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, where there's five types of devotees. The other lists are non-devotees, but five types of devotees, they can enter Vaikuntha Or they can enter Mathura and Dwarka, but they cannot enter that central region, Braja, where Radha and Krishna reside, and the gopis reside, and the residents of Vrindavan reside. So there's five stages. Jnana Bhakta. Devotees, where the devotion is actuated by knowledge. An example that's given is Bharat Maharaj. Devotion is activated by knowledge. And then there's a certain destination for such personalities. And then above that is Shuddha Bhakta, where the practice of, it's a long section, I could read the long section, but I'll just make it simple. By practice of sadhana bhakti, which we're doing, and one who becomes perfect at the practice of sadhana bhakti can attain Shuddha Bhakti. And an example of that is Ambarish Maharaj. And the destination of Ambarish Maharaj is Vaikuntha. And above that is Prema Bhakta, devotees that are imbued with pure devotion. An example given in Brihad Bhagavatamrita is Hanuman. He's activated just devotion to opportunity for service to Krishna, or to Ram, excuse me. He's fully enlivened. And so you see on the chart above Vaikuntha realm, that's the one that's in blue, above that one is the smaller region, Ayodhya. Above the Vaikuntha region is Ayodhya, but still, in one sense, within the Vaikuntha realm. Then, the devotees that are actuated by pure love, intimate association with the Supreme Lord, like Pandavas. And where do the Pandavas reside? Hastinapur. And then above that, the devotees impelled by overwhelming love, who serve the majesty of Godhead, that's in Dwarka, the Yadu dynasty, where Vasudeva Krishna resides. So the point is, there are residences where the Lord reciprocates with the particular love of his devotee. We could think of it in terms of, you know, Krishna shows a particular form and devotees are attracted to that particular form. But another way, from the other side, it's devotees have a particular type of love. The Lord shows a form to them to correspond with their particular type of love. And there's an abode, a place where they serve Krishna, worship Krishna, love Krishna. But above all, this Sri Brahma Samhita is indicating the topmost of all is Goloka. And what is the nature of that topmost region? The intimacy of love is so profound that the majesty of the Supreme Lord is overlooked. So now we'll go on, because what I just said connects with these next items. Extraordinary potencies bearing the name Vimala, etc. Now, we don't normally hear about Vimala, etc. Although the name given to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur at the time of his birth was Vimala Prasad. Now there's Vimala Devi in this material realm, but there's extraordinary potencies in the Svetadvip realm. I'm going to little scriptural reference in that regard, found in Hari Bhakti Vilas in relation to deity worship. There's particularly nine potencies, and also spoken by Krishna to Uddhava, when Krishna is describing to Uddhava the process of deity worship of him, he mentions these same nine potencies. In the verse it's Vimala, etc. And here's the nine potencies. You can look it up. It's in Uddhava Gita, 10th canto. Excuse me, 11th canto. Vimala, Utkarshani, Jnana, Kriya, Yoga, Pravi, Satya, Ishana, and Anugraha. So these are potencies that detail isn't given, so I can't expand or further explain. But they're potencies that are specifically appropriate in deity worship. And they're found in Svetadvi. And so there's extraordinary opulences and potencies found in that Svetadvi region. Later we're going to hear again about Mahavishnu and his abode, and because Krishna and Arjuna go there, remember, in search for the sons of the Brahmana, they go to the abode of Mahavishnu. So when we get there, I'll read the description, because each personality has his abode, each of the forms of abode, and then there's the situation in those abodes, and there's these opulences that exist in the realm of Mahavishnu, as they exist in Svetadvi. They are there for persons who are attracted to opulences and potencies. Also mentioned is the eight jewels. We don't commonly hear about the eight jewels, but reference for them is found in the 10th canto, chapter 50, where Dwarka is being described. And in that description of Dwarka, to honor Krishna, Kuvera gave his most precious jewels to Krishna. Okay, like the Shamataka jewel was Krishna wanted Satraja to give it to Ugrasena because it should be the property of the king. But Kuvera was a devotee of Krishna, so he gave his greatest treasure, these eight mystical opulences, to Krishna to reside in Dwarka. Named Padma, Mahapadma, Matsya Kurma, Audaka, Nila, Mukunda, and Shankha. So, again, the point is, those that are attracted to opulence, you'll find it abundant in Dwarka. It's where the Aishwarya is even greater than that found in Vaikuntha, the opulence of Dwarka. When, during the summer, the children, there's a Gita camp for children. And so one year they covered chapter 10, the opulences of the Absolute. So one of the projects to help the children appreciate the opulences of the Absolute is they read the section on Dwarka, and then they built a Dwarka city. One of the devotees was an architect. So she made a plan whereby the kids could make cutout things and styrofoam this and that, and made a huge Dwarka city. It was so fantastic that they showcased it at different schools when schools were having their appreciation, cultural appreciation, cultural diversity. And they would focus on India, so they put it in the showcase window for, this is the opulence of Dwarka. The kids were really happy with all their work. And then they were invited to come and make a presentation on India and, the glories of India and the opulence of India and the cultural, multicultural appreciation function. So Dwarka is known for its unlimited exhibition of opulence. And those that are so attracted, they find their place in Dwarka. But to enter into Vrindavan, such opulence is not the feature of attraction. There's a very long and beautiful description of this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, is leaving the Jagannath temple in order to demand for Jagannath to come back and take his place in the temple, because he's over there in Gundicha representing Vrindavan, enjoying his happiness in Vrindavan. So that she's taken out of the temple with all of her servants in procession, grand exhibition of opulence, demanding that Jagannath comes back. So while observing that festival, Shivas Pandit, or Shivas Thakur, is really happy. Just see the opulence of my goddess, Lakshmi. She puts to shame any other opulence anywhere in the spiritual, the material world. He's like so happy. And Lord Chaitanya notes his enthusiasm for worship of goddess Lakshmi. And he asks Surup Damodar, what do you think about that, Surup Damodar? Is the opulence of Vrindavan less than the opulence of Vaikuntha? And he gives such a simple and beautiful presentation of the opulence of Vrindavan far surpasses. But of Dwarka or Puri or Vaikuntha. But it's a different kind of opulence, that where everything there is, just as earlier described, for the service of Krishna. Entirely. Everything is made of Chintamani stones. In Jiva Goswami's writing, he says the residents of Vrindavan, everything there is Chintamani, and one of the things that they use is in their thong, in their sandals, the little piece that goes in the middle, they put it in the top. It's like a decoration. And they have really big ones, they use it as a doorstop. So the door is open and they can see Krishna coming down the path as he's returning from herding the cows. It's something like Jambavan and his disinterest in the Shamantaka jewel. So he gave it to his child to play with. Like that, the residents of Vrindavan are not interested in awe and splendor and that kind of opulence. The trees are Kalpavriksha trees. The cows are Surabhi cows. But their interest in receiving something from the Kalpavriksha trees is just for service to Krishna, that's all. There's nothing else. That's the love of Vrindavan. The intensity of that love is also overwhelming. So that's the message that we're hearing here. Last but not least in this list of what's in the Svetadrip region is associates of the hues of blue, yellow, red, and white. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur spends most of his, it's a 4-page purport, 4.5-page purport, discussing this point. And it goes as follows. There's associates, just like when Gargamuni performed the name-giving ceremony for Krishna on behalf of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna and Balaram. And he speaks there, a very important verse, where this child of yours, in previous lifetimes, he was of the hue of red, white, and yellow. Shukla raktaptata pita. Indicating Krishna in other situations is these, as is being described here, the yuga avatars. So that yuga avatar whose pita or yellow or gora or golden is Lord Chaitanya. So he explains Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, with reference to Gopal Champu and other texts. Gopal Champu is a text by Jiva Goswami. That in the Sweta Greek region, this question was asked earlier in one of the classes, Lord Chaitanya has his residence. I'm going to read just a couple of things. The first reference is from Vrindavan Das Thakur. Who is Vrindavan Das Thakur? He is the principal biographer of Lord Chaitanya's life. He is the Vyas of Gauralila. As Vyas compiled Krishna's pastimes, Vrindavan Das compiled Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And the book is today known as Chaitanya Bhagavat. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur refers to the abode of Lord Chaitanya as Sweta Dweep. The reason is, that's his abode. Sweta Dweep. Get the picture up. And that white external region. You see in the four corners is Vasudeva Pradyumna Aniruddha and Sankarshan, the abodes of the Chaturvyuha. But it's also the abodes of these four, yellow, white, red, and blue. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we often see in pictures, like paintings, there's Krishna, and there's four quadrants, Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka, and Navadvip, because Lord Chaitanya eternally resides there, in Svetadvip, or Navadvip. So I'm going to read. Hence, Srila Thakur Vrindavan, the manifest Vyas of Chaitanya Lila, has described the village of Navadvip as bearing the name Svetadvip. In this Svetadvip, the concluding portions of the pastimes of Gokula exist eternally as the pastimes of Navadvip. Hence, the region of Navadvip, Braja, and the realm of Gokula, Goloka, are one and the same, indivisible entity. The difference only lies in the manifestations of the infinite variety of sentiments corresponding to the diverse nature of their devotional love. There is, in this most hidden principle, which only the greatest souls are possessed, who are possessed of the highest transcendental love, are unable to realize by the direct grace of Krishna. In other words, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we say, is Krishna himself, because he's Krishna himself. But he's Krishna himself in the mood of Radha, because Bhaktisiddhanta explains, we may think of this outer region, because it's not the inner region, it's less important. You know, like suburbs or something. There's like Manhattan, and then there's the rest of New York City. What's really important is, but while that may be true, Svetadvip is not less important than the inner region, Raja. In fact, he explains, it makes the inner region complete, or without it, it's incomplete. So what does that mean? So he goes into the description, as we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that when Krishna performed his pastimes in Gokula, upon completion of his pastimes, he began to consider, I see that Radha has a happiness 10 million times greater than my happiness. And how is that possible? Because I'm the personality Godhead. But her happiness is greater than my happiness. Not by a little bit, 10 million times greater. I want to experience that happiness. And I'm the Supreme, so I should be able to do everything. But I can't experience that happiness because she's the abode of love and I'm the object of love, so I have to take the position of the abode of love, regarding the object of love, to make my experience of my pastimes complete. That's Lord Chaitanya. And his residence is in Svetadvipa, or Navadvipa. But Navadvipa is not different than Svetadvipa. And Svetadvipa is making complete, therefore it's part of Gokula, or Goloka, makes Goloka complete. Just again, I'm just going to read a few sentences from the rest of his purport, page 15. The identical devotees of Vraja and Navadvipa simultaneously attain pleasures of service in the realm of Krishna and Gaura. What he's saying here is, when you attain that state of Vastugata, remember from yesterday? Surupgata and Vastugata, where there's not even any touch. You understand Krishna, and there's no touch of anything material, contact and attraction. When one attains that stage, who is a follower of Lord Chaitanya, when you go back to Godhead, you'll attain a form both in Gokula and in Svetadvipa. Doesn't describe the technology of how that happens. But simultaneously you'll take part in Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Svetadvipa. Simultaneously. Fascinating, isn't it? And take it the other way around. We say each of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, they have their counterpart in Krishna Lila. Isn't it? Srivas Thakur is Narada Muni. Gadadhar Pandit is Radharani. And so forth. Everyone is they have their counterpart. Because in the spiritual world, they're simultaneously both taking part in Krishna's Leela and taking part in Gaurav Leela. And when Lord Chaitanya descends, they manifest their forms of taking part in Gaurav's Leela. They eternally are situated like that. Not occasionally. Eternally they're situated like that. It's a deep mystery. Very profound, deep mystery. But this is the nature of Lord Chaitanya. Very deep and very profound. The gist of the whole matter is this. Goloka, as Svetadvipa, is eternally manifest because the pleasures of enjoyment of the rasa could not be had in its entirety in the pastimes of Krishna in Vraja. Krishna, who is complete, because he's Atmaram, he's everything. One thing that was not possible for him was experiencing the love of Radha and the happiness that she experiences in that love. And the way that she experiences his qualities that incite her love and her happiness. That is fulfilled in Gaura, who has his residence in Golokadham, that portion called Svetadvipa. Fascinating. One other little passage, and I think we're done. In Navadvipa, this is the last paragraph, or the last page of the purport, page 16 if you have your book. In Navadvipa, the identical realm of Goloka, on the bank of the Ganges, Gaurachandra, who is Govinda, the entity of pure cognition, who has two hands, who is the soul of all souls, who has the supreme great personality as the great meditative sannyasin, and who is beyond the threefold mundane attributes, makes the process of pure devotional unalloyed service manifest in this mundane world. That's his external reason. He comes to give love of God, the Yuga Dharma. He is soul, S-O-L-E, Godhead. He is the source of all forms. the Supreme Soul, and is Godhead manifesting himself in yellow, red, blue, and white colors. He is directly the entity of pure cognition, full of spiritual or chit potency. He is the figure of the devotee. He is the bestower of devotion and cognizable by devotion alone. The self-same Gaurachandra, who is none other than Krishna himself, in order to taste, it goes on, in order to taste rasa of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Gokula, manifests as Navadvipa in his form of Gaurachandra. So that's why the purport is so long. It's a very mysterious presentation, just out of that, the four words in this text 5. The associates of the cue, red, blue, yellow, and white. That's Navadvipa, or in Svetadvipa. Lord Chaitanya's presence is there, making Gokula complete. So I have some further pictures just to illustrate what we've described. Here's our yantra. And as you see, what's going to appear next is the four Vedas. Watch slowly around the four sides. The syllables of the Sanskrit alphabet. And then up in the upper left-hand corner, piety, wealth, passion, and liberation. This is just what that yantra says, and is depicted this way in the full yantra in Sanskrit. The associates of the hue, yellow, red, blue, and white. In the lower right corner, extraordinary potencies bearing the names of Vimala, etc. Rig Samayajo and Atharva Veda. The 10 Digpals. And then these mystical gems, Mahapadma, Padma, etc., 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 etc. They fill this outer region. So around that blue circle is that outer region. And the tridents in the 10 directions are also manifest. And all of that's depicted in this image. So if you look closely, you'll see these are the abodes of the Chaturvyuha, each of these yellow orbs. The four Vedas are pictured here also. Outside of that is Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. And the name Svetadvipa is indicated here, and Mathura, Puri, Dwarka are indicated here. And I think that does it. Doesn't show the tridents, but they're there, keeping unqualified people. And the Digpals are there. So we're done with describing the abode of Krishna. As text 2 said, now these verses are going to be describing the abode of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. The next verse is a transition verse. We'll just show it now and then we'll discuss it later. The Lord of Gokula is the transcendental Supreme Godhead, the own self of eternal ecstasies. He is the superior of all superiors and is busily engaged in enjoyments of the transcendental realm and has no association with his mundane potency. So it's a bridge verse into describing the mundane potency and the process of creation. So that's what's going to be our subject matter. after breakfast, the process of creation. It runs for several verses. The last slide in this section, you'll see in that white area surrounding the hexagonal image. This is text 27. It's illustrating the in the yantra. It's the cover picture of Brahma Samhita. It's Lord Brahma hearing the flute song of Krishna, and then the Gayatri mantra, Kam Gayatri mantra, manifests from his four mouths. So that's inscribed, as you'll see, one by one. That mantra, the Kama Gayatri mantra, with clean at the center, is text 27. So this is a preview. We'll discuss it in detail when we get to text 27. But what you see here makes that yantra, the colored yantra at the very beginning, now translated. All the parts are there. Hare Krishna. Any discussion? Yes?
What is the question online?
Okay. There's a question in the audience too. After you.
Yes, it's from Premananda Mataji. She says, the planet of the Surabhi house, is it in Goloka or is there one similar in the material realm? Jiva Goswami in Gopal Champu writes that Indra went to Surabhi's planet and pleased her repeatedly and brought her with him, being afraid to approach Krishna after offending him. So the question is, the planet of the Surabhi cows, is it in Goloka or is there one similar in the material world?
I don't know the answer to that. As far as I know, there's not one in the material world. I mean, the one that's in the material world is where the Govardhan Hill is, the same place where Indra made his offense. And I don't know of another one besides that one, the planet of the Surabhi cows. The only other one that I know of is in Goloka. By what is the eligibility for Indra to go to Goloka to invite a Surabhi cow to descend with him to Gokula to pacify Krishna? I don't have the answer to that. I don't know of another one. I could try to research it, but I don't think I'll find anything. Maybe in the commentary of the Acharyas they say something about the Gopal Champu, the planet of the Surabhi cows. Can't answer the question.
Two questions. First, you get an example of this hue, the yellow,
yes,
red and white.
Yes.
We understood yellow refers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as far as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati explained to us. Well, what are the examples of white, red and blue?
I asked this question of Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, who gave the same answer I just gave. I don't know. Meaning, what we know is what we hear from our acharyas. And there's no mention by our acharyas that I'm aware of or that he's aware of that expands what would the the reasonable, it would seem like, kind of answer is the yuga avatars in each of the four yugas have their original abode in Svetadvipa. And the Lord who descends into this world delivering the yuga dharma would be that same Lord who has these different hues. But it's not, there's no elaboration. So, I can't say. And I have found Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj not only to have well-researched things, but he's like a human encyclopedia. He's an amazing personality. And when I raised that question in dialogue with him, he didn't know of any scriptural reference either. So I can't elaborate.
Thank you, Maharaj. Another confusion, maybe that's in just my mind. The outside of these four parameters, where we see the Vasudeva, Nirudra, you said Dharma Artha Kama Moksha. How can Dharma Artha Kama Moksha be above Narayan? Because
it's not. The language of your question is itself misleading. So we'll back up. It's not that they're above Narayan. Rather, the perfection of, the ultimate attainment of Dharma Artha Kama Moksha are found in Svetta Dvipa. As mentioned, according to Jiva Goswami, the way in which Nanda Maharaj executed his Vaishya duties are found in their perfection, in that Goloka realm, and so forth. So there are others that do those activities less than perfection and with material motivation. There's no material motivation found, but rather the in Goloka, but the perfection of those are found in Goloka. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaji, you gave an example of Prema Bhakta is Hanuman.
Yes.
Now, people unknowingly worship him as a demigod. So, question is it still okay to worship him, worship Hanuman as he is a pure devotee?
Well, yes and no. Yes and no. Yes is the obvious part, and no, because our tendencies are commonly otherwise than seeing him as a pure devotee. Just by conditioning, by cultural conditioning. So the yes part is fine. Just like we may worship Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and there's, you know, but they indicate worship Krishna. And Hanuman will indicate worship Ram. So we worship Ram. Or, as here, Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman. We worship them together. So there's no confusion. Hanuman would want to be seen as a servitor of Ram. So that's how we should view Hanuman, along with Ram, and worship him that way. Okay. Yes?
There's one more question online, Maharaj. It's from Premananda Mataji again.
Yeah.
She says, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, are they Lord Krishna's energies or expansions?
I'm sorry, I was distracted.
She says, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, are they Lord Krishna's energies or expansions?
Their Shakti Tattva is energy.
My question is, we say like Jivasa, the ultimate goal of Jivasa is to reach Goloka. In this description, if Jivas, after they get purified, where they are situated in Goloka as Jivas?
Depends on their relationship with Krishna, where they're situated.
We understand like all the different entities are expansions of Radha and Krishna in Goloka, so since Jivas are separate, they are not really expansions, so with that, from that understanding point of view, how I'm trying to understand like what is the position of Jivas in Goloka?
There's unlimited jivas in Goloka. There's unlimited shaktis in Goloka. Goloka is a big place, and there's room for everybody. And it's not like no jivas allowed. There's unlimited jivas in Goloka, perfected jivas in Goloka. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. Over here? On the lady's side? Oh, you have one? Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I have a few questions. In the lecture, we talked about the Shuddha Bhakta, Prema Bhakta, Prema Paramatma, all these different bhaktas. And then we heard the description that they are not in Goloka, but they are in other places where the Lord reciprocates according to their mood.
There's a crossover. You know what a Venn diagram is?
Yes.
You know what it is? So this is an example of a Venn diagram. There are, at least if I understand your question, if I understand your question correctly, Mathur and Dwarka are in Goloka. At the same time, in the purport, Bhaktisiddhanta is saying those two, as well as the other three, are in the realm of Vaikuntha. So there's a part of Vaikuntha mood that is majesty in Dwarka, to a lesser degree, but still to some degree, in Mathura. So they're in Goloka or Gokula, but there's a degree of the mood of majesty in those two realms. So they're like Vaikuntha. Is that what your question is? No.
Yes, yeah. But I had something more.
Okay.
So if they are, so is it a question of their mood or is it a question of some contamination?
Mood.
I have another question, Maharaj. So when we read...
It's like Uddhava, for example, outside of Vrindavan, in this Svetadvip region, Uddhava is considered topmost in intimacy and in every other way. He was overwhelmed by the intensity of love, the quality of love. It's not like Uddhava is lacking in purity. It's a different word. And appreciating the intensity of selflessness and absorption in Krishna. He who has the superlative absorption in Krishna was amazed. So it's mood, it's not purity or contamination.
Maharaj, also we heard about dharma, artha, karma, and moksha, and we find that the perfection of that is in service to Krishna.
Mm.
So when we are practicing as over here as devotees, so there can be a lot of confusions about prescribed duties and about, you know, how can we dovetail everything to the Lord. So what mood should we carry? How do we be on the right track?
The mood to carry is honesty. Like an honest recognition of this is where I am and I know what the goal is and it's not where I am right now. And so I gave a Sunday feast lecture in Chicago on response to a question somebody had asked earlier that weekend on needs and wants. And so just like a quick summary of all of that is, in the absolute sense, all we need is Krishna. In the less than perfect stage, we have our needs, the fourfold human requirements. We have to eat and sleep and at least those two things. But you know, how much do we need to eat? How much do we need to sleep? Or then other things, how much do we need acknowledgement from others, affection and, you know, social needs and etc. So that's just like It's stuff that we don't really need, ultimately, absolutely. But in order to function in a sustainable way, there's a certain amount of sleep that we need, and a certain amount of eating that we need, a certain amount of social needs and civic needs. It's going to be discussed in the last verses in a kind of a detailed way. Bhaktisiddhanta lays out, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur does, there's different functions that we perform, social, emotional, and so forth. And the understanding presented there is, we as devotees are following nivritti, which is we're attempting to minimize, according to, with honesty, that which is, I can sustain my efforts and devotion to Krishna, always looking to, whenever it's realistic to do so, to diminish and diminish on the strength of increasing and increasing the mood of devotion, the quality of devotion, not necessarily the how many rounds I chant or how much time I spend with one area or the other area, but the fulfillment, spiritual fulfillment, results in a less sense of need. But so where do we strike the balance is that which is sustainable, with the expectation and practically the experience that as we spiritually progress, our needs diminish. Worldly needs diminish. We still may have this and that. Like Lord Chaitanya, he would perform his daily duties, like routine. But internally, his absorption was in Krishna. So, like that, one may go on where it's no longer a need, but we do things. Not like absent-mindedly do things, but not with the same sense of neediness that we have now. Right? In order to be peaceful and carry on in my devotional service in a sustainable way, I have to do these things. I have to have these things in order to be peaceful. So we adjust and monitor and try to minimize so that we can maximize our spiritual focus. And those things that we do accept, see them as a gift from Krishna to help me carry out my service to Krishna in a peaceful way, as much as my little mind can be peaceful. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Maharaj, here we read about these five types of devotees.
Yes.
One of them is Suddha Bhakta, or the perfection attained by Sadhana Bhakti.
Yes.
And it's described that they also have residence in Vaikuntha.
Yes.
Not the center of the lotus, like in the
Guru. Correct.
But then we also hear by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and the gradual purification of Sadhana Bhakti, we eventually attain Goloka realm or the center.
There's a little step that you just didn't say, but you know it's there because you've read Nectar Devotion. And that is, from Sadhana Bhakti, from Vidvaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, comes Radhanuga Sadhana Bhakti. Now, it may not come. And if it doesn't come, then Vaikuntha is the destination. But if it does come through the association with Rupa Goswami and followers of Rupa Goswami, Radhanuga Sadhana Bhakti will come, and Vaidhi Bhakti will continue along with Radhanuga Sadhana Bhakti. So you just study it, and then followers of Rupa Goswami are blessed. What did we do? We just like woke up one day and we got all this amazing fortune by becoming followers of Rupa Goswami by the mercy of our founder Acharya and his followers. So we have that very, 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 very rare and special and unique facility if we take it up properly. Yeah?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. First of all, I would really like to thank you for all these sessions. Thanks a lot. You have really assimilated such hard information and we can easily take it on. So thank you for those. And then again, I have also two questions. One is related to Mataji's was asked. We say that these all five types of bhaktas, they cannot even enter Golok. So my question is, or concern is, what is hope for, I would say just for myself. You just now said that we are very blessed with, because we are followers of Rupa Goswami.
Just stay faithful to Rupa Goswami. That's your hope.
Right, just doing chanting.
Not just chanting. In addition to chanting, as you become purified through chanting, and you take the Bhakti Shastri course, you call it something else here, but Bhakti Shastri course, and you learn from Rupa Goswami what the subsequent stages of the unfolding of the flower of bhakti is, the creeper of bhakti, you'll learn. And you continue chanting and you learn what Rupa Goswami is giving, the gift that he's giving on behalf of Lord Chaitanya. And that other additional stage will also be taken up. And if that doesn't happen in this lifetime, no problem, because we need lots of cleansing in this lifetime. And we'll continue where we left off in our next lifetime. Whatever it takes. It can happen in this one lifetime. Depends on how carefully we do our devotional practices and how strong is the connection with the line of Pacific succession that's giving this wonderful gift. It's up to us. But, subsequent, yes, that's the hope.
My another question is, when in the PowerPoint you shows those tridents, I was thinking when we visited Mayapur, with every temple we saw Lord Shiva's temple. Does those tridents represent Lord Shiva related to them?
Not exactly, but yes. I mean, in other words, it's not that only Lord Shiva can hold the trident. But, given what you had said, it's part of Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Bhakti Siddhanta both re-establish the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes because they were lost to the world. It was Bhakti Vinod Thakur's calling, or one of his many, is to restore the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, which he also in turn passed on to his son. But as they did, they had this understanding that in order to enter into, not just go and, like a tourist and take a picture and send pictures back to your relatives, I went and visited this place. But to enter into, one needs blessings. And unqualified people are kept out by the same. So, Kshetrapal, the protector of the Dham, Lord Shiva. Just like at the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the backside. And Dhameshwara Mahadev, the protector. So they're known by some names in Vrindavan, they're owned by other names in Mayapur or Navadvip, but the same function. But like at our Sridham Mayapur, we don't have a Lord Shiva temple like that. Prabhupada didn't instruct us to do that. And at least, as long as I'm a DVC member alive, we're not going to do that, in my report. Prabhupada didn't instruct us to do that. But still, that is part of the Navadvipa Parikrama that we pay our respects at the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to that form of Lord Shiva who can give us entrance. Etc. Okay. Anything else?
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
So following on the same question of Shyamalan.
Same question, okay.
So if we see that Maharaj Parikshit, sorry, the Maharaj Parikshit, he has ended up in Vaikuntha, but once they, can they change their mode of service and still go back to Goloka if they wish from Vaikuntha?
Tamal Krishna Maharaj is famous for repeating this very question, asking Srila Prabhupada, is it possible? And Prabhupada's answer was yes. And his answer was, the spiritual world is not static, it's ecstatic. So for that to happen, it requires some association. But it's possible. And through association, such desires can awaken, etc. So, for us, it's academic. Meaning, we already have the needed association. Okay?
Another few questions.
It's 9 o'clock. Go ahead.
This extension to what my question was asked when you responded to that question about that we be peaceful or the execution of our duties to the extent that we please our spiritual, meaning maximize the spiritual side.
Correct.
So we can, in accordance, minimize the
yes. Correct.
Material execution of duty. That's, one is about our own selves to do that, but then we have the duties that we have to do to others,
yes,
in the family, etc.
Sure, so, social. Sure.
So those, while we might be increasing spiritually, and we have to, we can minimize what we need for our own selves, but what we need to do for others, social or family, that.
You do that? So, it's part of life, isn't it?
Yeah. So that has to be.
Sure, it has to be factored. But let's just take the example of Lord Chaitanya instructing Raghunath Das Goswami. Go back, perform your duties as if you're attached, but internally, inwardly cultivate attraction for Krishna. And so he did that. And surely, you know, Krishna will show his mercy upon you and like that.
What was confusing though was Nanda Maharaj is, so he, that perfection of his duties, because sometimes if we are hearing that actually the highest Goloka means there is no question of duty, it's just spontaneous,
no,
complete attraction to.
Yeah, it's not about, for him, it's not about, you don't mix your situation
yeah,
with Nanda Maharaj.
Basically, it's another aspect.
Okay, so
yeah.
We're on to another.
Yeah.
He's not performing duty, he's performing the perfection of Dharma. Pure love for Krishna, because what's the purpose? Awaken attraction for Krishna. He doesn't need to awaken attraction for Krishna.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any duty to perform. He's doing the full fruit of Dharma. That's Nanda Maharaj.
But he's still doing his dharma, or is
it that's please don't get stuck in time and space. It's the perfection. We're not there. We're doing the, you know, we need to do. He doesn't need to do anything. He's doing. Out of love for Krishna, he's doing. That's the perfection. Next question.
The next question was, can you elaborate on Shakti Tattva as compared to Jiva Tattva? Because you said Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda are Shakti Tattva. So because when we say Lord expands in his personal expansions as Vishnu Tattva, and then the separated children are like the Jiva Tattva, so how does
Shakti Tattva? I can't do too much to satisfy you, your question. What I have heard is that Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda are not positions that someone can occupy, like Lord Brahma is a position. a post.
Yeah.
They're not posts, nor are they jivas. They're eternally part of Krishna's entourage,
yeah,
representing his shakti, the shakti of parental love, mother and father. In that sense, shakti tattva. But I can't elaborate more than that. It's not a jiva with a post, it's shakti. Now others may also, like the earlier question, they may be jivas who are assisting, like Putana, achieved the position of one of the maidservants of Yashoda in the spiritual world. Jiva, assisting Mother Yashoda, shakti, tattva. No problem. What else?
The four Vedas.
Is that part of how the four Vedas are also what's the position of the four? What's the understanding of why the four Vedas are there in the Dham?
I thought I answered that, but I can repeat it. On this level, the four Vedas are primarily the repository of karmakanda rituals for persons who want satisfaction on this plane and elevation after this life to the heavenly realm. Largely, that's what the four Vedas are. In the Goloka realm, there's only one thing: glorification of Krishna. That's all. That's all. That's all. You can say the personified Vedas, glorifying Krishna. We have these descriptions of Krishna in the spiritual world. That's what they're doing. Simply glorifying Krishna, that's all. They're not teaching how to get this benediction, that benediction. Okay? Is that it? Any other questions? Okay, we're going to break for breakfast.
We have 2 hours.
Okay, but what about the people that are online that are thinking?
We can tell them.
We can tell them.
Yeah.
We can tell them right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So let's do the 2 online ones because they're probably quick, yes?
Yeah, the first one is from, again, it's a question from Premananda Mukherjee. She asks, Dun is known as the Bija Mantra for addressing Srimati Radharani. I saw in the slideshow Pinam next to the 4 quadruple expansions of Krishna. Why is it there instead of Klim?
I don't have the answer to that question. If she's asking the same question that Nanda Sutta asked yesterday, in that in that internal region, let's go to the. I don't have the answer to that. Next question.
Next question is from Vatul Patel. Question is, we the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if it matters, should we aspire to go to Goloka or straight to the Mahaprabhu's abode?
Take your pick. You'll go to both. So you want to announce?
Yes, so we will resume at 10 o'clock. And online, please come back at 10 o'clock Pacific. Thank you very much.